Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everyone, for another great week. Chuck Bonnewell, Julie Hedden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
That's right. Hey, and let me say, happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody out there, too. That's right. The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness Advanced, acupuncture and Chinese medicine. Okay. Well, the race is kind of getting down to the wire. On the 29th, Colorado Republicans will be electing a new leadership of the party. And I want to say at 3:30, we're going to talk to another one of the chair candidates, Jeremy Goodall. But right now, we are thrilled to have with us Anna Ferguson, the current secretary of the Colorado Republican Party, who has, I don't know, and announced that she is seeking re-election. I am happy to hear that. I know, Chuck, you're happy to hear that. So, Anna, thank you and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on, guys. It's good to see you both.
So I know this has been, I think when you were initially were elected secretary, who knew it was going to be such a fun ride?
So much fun.
Let me just kind of flat out ask you, what made you decide to run again?
Actually, you know, a lot of people have been just telling me just you have to do it. You know, it's the continuity, of the job. I mean, I did do the job well, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, my job was for records and reporting to the Secretary of State. I mean, and I did what I needed to do. And a lot of them had just said, oh, please run again. You know, obviously Hope wants me to run with her. So I,
okay. And we were among those saying, please run again. So, and actually, yes. So now you've got Dr. Donna says you're one of her favorite people. Sandra says she agrees. So everybody's happy you're running again.
I've been around with the Republican Party, and I'll say that Anna put in more work than every secretary combined for at least the last decade.
Thank you, Chuck.
Really worked incredibly hard and accomplished incredible amounts of things. Usually the secretary would be somebody on the Western Slope or elsewhere who would be told, okay, sign this, and they'd sign it, and that was it. But you were a real leader and somebody really got things done.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I tried. That's what I wanted to do coming into this, knowing that the previous secretaries really didn't get involved much. And I like working with all the counties, and I did from the beginning, had Zoom calls with them and what do you need? How can I help you? Things like that. And they still, I mean, even the ones that are not crazy about us still will contact me. Hey, I need help with this new statute, this bylaw, this list of voting members. And, I'm willing to help anybody that calls or emails.
And I've seen that because, we see the Facebook posts and things like that. And I have to say, as you said, that, we all know there are sort of two factions, at least within the Colorado Republican Party. But as secretary, my observation was you just played it straight. People asked for information. You didn't care who they were, where they were from. You got it to them. You requested information from them. And I think you did a great job promoting great causes, and we'll talk about that in a second. But in terms of the very specific secretary rules, I mean, you didn't play favorites at all, and I think that's great.
And you can't. I mean, it's a, right. It's a job. The records, the minutes, the posting things, reporting things. I mean, I did the job.
Right.
And then I went a little above, I like to help with bylaws and statutes and things like that. So I would always dive into their bylaws if they had any questions for their meetings and whatnot. I just wanted to be helpful. That was it. And teach them and guide them to. A lot of people didn't know about the party structure either, with, central committees, vacancy committees, executive committees, So, there are days that you'll sit on the phone for hours trying to explain things to people. So, and I enjoy doing it. Don't get me wrong. I really do enjoy helping people. So,
you
passed what is considered the key test for any good officer of the Republican Party. You got sued along with the other officers, and you were a trumpet, and they got dismissed. But, you got
that's
to get sued once for the fun of it.
Yeah. That was a tough one.
Back to the other thing, though, one of the key things about being a secretary, and that's where I think, even all the other stuff aside, continuity is important. I know from having sat through meetings and listened to bylaw discussion, it's Byzantine, right? I mean, it's hard to figure out. And so many times, I mean, I would, even in Adams County, they would say, okay, well, we had to call Anna, right? To say, okay, what does this, how do we handle this? And I think one of the things, you don't have to be a parliamentarian, but you have to have a pretty clear, number one, understanding what the rules are. Number two, where to go to get clarity. And I think you did a great job at that.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. And I enjoy it. I mean, it might sound ridiculous, but I'm probably one of those crazy people that enjoy, you know, the statutes, reading the bylaws, understanding it, you know. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen my bylaws. There's like sticky notes and tags everywhere. You can barely read them because I have to, you know, I dig really deep into them. And then the county bylaws too, because some of them are different. But yeah, right. I enjoy that kind of stuff. So,
right. Well, let me ask you.
What would you like to accomplish in your second term?
I really would like to spend more time educating the counties and the PCPs and things like that. That was one of my main things when I first started. But then when we got into the, and I did, we started out every month, I had a call with them. And then when we, once we got sued and people started, you know, complaining about things all the time, it was harder and harder for me to get on these calls because everybody would be hating on Dave or whatever. So, but that's, I'd like to do that. I'd like to then make sure that all of the secretaries are aware of their job too, because a lot of them right. don't even know. And I want to make sure that the PCPs are all trained properly. I want to make sure everybody knows the structure of the party. They just need a better understanding and their bylaws. They all need to basically read their bylaws. They need to know things going into these meetings because there are people that'll tell them things that is simply not true. And they'll just believe it because they don't know the difference,
right.
you know? So, that's what I would like to do. I really want to, get more involved with the counties, on a regular basis, the way when we first started.
Well, and you know why that's important? Because that helps everything run smoothly. It can be confusing enough when, you know, you've got two different sides or three different sides of people kind of present. But at least when you have clarity on the rules, it can give, it gives the county chairs, whether you agree with them or don't agree with them, and the secretaries, once there's clarity on the rules, and that's what you provide, and I think will continue to provide, that makes everything at least run smoothly. And if you're going to have the arguments, at least you can have the arguments smoothly, right?
Right.
And by the rules. So
yes. And we have to enforce the rules too. I mean, you know, it's knowing the rules is one thing. It's, and then they say, well, we've always done it this way. Well, if you were doing it wrong, now it's time to do it right. You know, you have to be accountable for the rules, especially in your own bylaws. If you go against your own county bylaws instead, you know, things like that, you really just, I just want to help people understand that.
Right.
What also is good. I mean, I've heard one of the candidates say what they really wanted to do, the candidates for chair. They had 17 openings where no Republican ran, and we've got to get all 17 in there, and this is the worst thing in the world. And someone like you can you know, try to them, look, these are spots where somebody had no chance of winning. Would you like somebody to run? Sure. But that's really not so key as try to find the seats we can win and
exactly.
trying as hard as we can to win those seats rather than trying to lose less, slightly less, seats we can't win. And
mm-hmm.
we won three seats. I mean, that's great. And we took a congressional seat and did other things. And so it might sound good to some people, but an experienced secretary, like you, that's not our problem. It's,
yeah.
Running for seats we can't possibly win is not the highest priority of a party.
I agree. And a lot of people don't like to hear that, but it's the truth. Why would we waste so much time? We need to focus our efforts in a seat that we know we could win, that there's a
yeah.
good chance of us winning. If we know that there's a district that's just all, I'm not that I don't want someone to run, and we tried to get people
right.
to run in all. We had the list of every open seat, and we tried to get everyone, but there, every one of them filled, but we focused on the ones that we had a chance of winning, that we could possibly flip, rather than focusing on a district that there was no chance in the world that we'd be able to win it. Not that we don't want, like I said, that's why people don't like it, because we want people to run in all of them. There's no doubt. But you really do have to, you got to play your cards right if you want to, you know, start making some changes. And we flipped five seats. I
Well,
mean, no one gives us
exactly.
credit for that, but we were in charge when these seats flipped, whether you like it or not, you know?
So
And
let's
it
talk
was
about that
great. We
because
worked hard.
people try to, I want you to straight, because the other side is saying things like, oh, we lost voters, the party shrunk, we lost seats. Why don't you set the record straight and talk about the things that this administration, of which you were the secretary, accomplished?
Well, one of them is we increased the voter membership for the Republican Party. It's under Christy Burton Brown 2 years back. She lost over 160,000 registered voters. 160, almost 170,000 registered voters left the party. In the past 2 years, we reversed that and we gained 11,000. Not a huge amount, but nonetheless, we stopped the hemorrhage. And this has been going on after every year, year after year after year. This is the first time that we finally have increased it. 11,000 is an increase compared to the
Well, take it.
170,000 that we lost. Exactly. Well,
Exactly.
and I really do believe it's because we finally had a grassroots team in
Yes.
place. You know, I mean, people finally thought, oh, finally, someone that's going to, you know, stand up for what I believe and, you know, my platform, the Republican platform, rather than the establishment and what they did. And I do believe that also helped us increase our small donors. We did an increase of all the small donors, the ones that give a small amount every month, $5 a month, you know, $20 a month, things like that. We increased that. I think it was 2.4 million or 2.8 million is what we took
Wow.
in during our time. Not bad. You know,
No.
we didn't have the Anschutz and the Coors and the big money and all
Right.
that. We did it with the grassroots, with the small donors, the people who finally believed, finally, we have a grassroots team that's going to, you know, fight for our beliefs.
Okay.
You
Well,
know,
and what
and
about
say
the
this to
seat?
seats, Julie. The GOP was involved, the state GOP. We had a team working with all of these candidates. So that they're going to come and tell you that we had nothing to do with it, it's just not true.
No, I
Our
know.
team worked with each of these campaigns, you know, and so it is what it is. We still gained seats. Christie lost. So
Right.
she was wonderful. She worked with all the candidates, but they still lost seats. So, you know,
Right. Well, and
it.
let's talk about that a little bit more because you're right, because they'll try to, I mean, before the election, the Democrats were predicting, a massive blue wave in Colorado in spite of what Trump is doing nationally. And then the Anschutz-controlled media tried to portray it, and the rhinos and the establishment people tried to portray it as, oh, we didn't have the red wave. It's like, well, comparatively speaking, like you said, the Democrats, I think, were thinking they were going to get a massive super duper majority in the legislature, and you guys want some. So talk about that a little bit. You flip seats.
Yes. We flipped the seats, and then so they didn't have the super majority. And I mean, that was very important. I mean, they still have the majority, and for us to get things passed is, you know, is really very difficult. But but we did stop the super majority in the House. We kept the Senate, I think, stood the same. We didn't gain or lose there. And then we got that extra congressional seat with Gabe Evans. A state board of education seat. So I think we did well. I really do, compared to the years prior where we lost
Right.
every single year. So I mean, we have a lot to be proud of. We really do. And we worked hard. I mean, this was no walk in the park, I got to tell you. And this was all while we were getting sued.
Right. Well, and not only that, the other thing you did is you kept Trump on the ballot in Colorado. Fellow Republicans were trying to keep Trump off the ballot in Colorado. So let's just start there, right? I think any other leadership team would have been, we know what KBB would have done, right? We know what some of the, they would have just said, oh, well, we don't like Trump anyway, right? And
It
I
would have done
mean,
nothing.
they would have done nothing. And that, I mean, that took no small amount of effort too. Talk a little bit about that.
That was all Dave. Dave was involved in that whole lawsuit, and I think he even went to Washington at one
Right.
point, didn't he? And I mean, that was amazing. I mean, he worked very hard in fighting that battle against our own Republican people. I mean, that's what is
Right.
even
Well, he
worse
also
than they
got a
were.
law firm to do it pro bono. That's amazing. I mean, you hear
Yes.
from Christy
Yes.
Bruton, we can't afford attorney. We can't do this. We don't have any money for that and stuff. And Dave kind of went, okay, let's figure out another way to get an attorney. And he did. And so that was so brilliant. One of the things I'm always amazed of when I meet new candidates who haven't run for politics before is their misunderstanding of what the party can and cannot do for you in Colorado. The legislature made every effort to make sure the parties were not helpful. They cut off all the funding to them because they figured, well, the Republicans really depend on the party We Democrats don't. So when you run, if you expect this huge caravan to come into your district and get you elected, you're wrong. There's no cavalry. And same with the county. The county doesn't have any money to sort. You got to raise your own money. You got to get your own volunteers. If you can get some volunteers from the county, if you can get some PCPs, if you can get some help from the Republican Party, that's all great. But that's not what you can depend on. And so many people figure they once they got elected from the primary, the cavalry was going to be there, and they're shocked, that no, they're not there. And you kind of go, yeah, they never were coming. You got to win on your own with what assistance the county and the state can provide you. But it is not a matter of they're gonna no, you got to get yourself elected, and that's what they all do.
And then when they lose, they blame us. I don't know. It's
Tell an anecdotal story that doesn't just happen in the state legislative level. Years ago, and I apologize, back when I was a Democrat, right? I worked on the congressional campaign, I know, for Dave Thomas, and he was running against Bob Beaupre. And so initially the cavalry came, right? The feds and the whatever, the DCCC, the Congressional Campaign Committee, they send all these staffers, all these volunteers, et cetera, et cetera. And then literally one day when Dave didn't hit his fundraising goal, we went into the office, they were all gone. They just all left. You know what I mean? And it's like he didn't even know. I mean, no one even bothered to tell him. I mean, but that's the way politics works, right? It's like if you are relying on, like Chuck says, the cavalry, you've been reading the wrong books. You need to take politics 101. And I think that's people.
But I do believe, though, we've got some really good volunteers. I
Oh,
gotta
yeah.
tell you. I mean, Liz Temple, who was the assistant secretary, she led an effort, her and Debbie Perry Smith, with
Right.
volunteers that amazing, amazing people. What it's so good to see what so many grassroots volunteers are willing to do. I mean, and even Hope and I mean, it's was not a paid position. We did, we worked for nothing. So, and but the we do have good volunteers, but yes, the candidates just there is no big cavalry coming that's gonna just
But you guys have provided, I think, excellent backup and support for, because I know we talked to Hope and we talked to even Darcy, who talked about all the things that they did. And I know even the House District, captains would say that, the state is there. They can do certain things, and what you guys could do is give them guidance. And I think you did a great job on that. So,
Well,
which
thank
can't be
you.
easy. You have like a million candidates out there, everything from like literally, county commissioner to whatever, all the way up to congressional races, right?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that that you recognize what we've done. So, thank you.
The other thing you guys did too, and this is a leadership team, is you guys did not back down. You guys took a stance. I mean, you weren't like KBB, who announced that she was for unicorns and puppies and, and cotton candy, right? You guys came out and said, we want Trump on the ballot. You guys came out and said, we support this. You supported Tina Peters. You did stuff, not whether because it was politically expedient and you didn't shy away from stuff. You did things. And because it was the right thing to do and the Republican principled thing to do, right?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And speaking of Tina, I just think, I am so glad to hear that the DOJ is getting involved with this because this woman, it's horrible what they did to her. It really is, and she needs to be out of prison. And I hope that happens soon. I really do.
Well, and I go back to you guys even standing up. I believe, didn't you write a letter? Or weren't you involved in when, for instance, when the January 6th people, you know what I mean, standing up for the January 6th people, and he had all these other establishment Republicans saying, "Oh my God, oh," all of Twitter because the media was portraying them bad. And I think it was you guys in the Colorado Republican Party leadership that stood up and said, "No, I mean, we need to stand up for election integrity and things like that." Right? I mean, you took a stand
Absolutely.
on so many crucial issues, I think.
Well, and Ron Hanks, who's the chair of the election and ballot security team, tried to has gotten many calls into Pam Bondi and then Hope then followed up with a letter to the to Pam Bondi because we really do need to get Tina that her story recognized. I mean, it is recognized, it's out there, but we need to get something done. They need to force Polis's hand to pardon her, get her out. I mean, it's so unfair of what she's going through, and she's not being treated well.
Right.
You
Well, and
know?
the other thing you guys did, again, just you and the current Colorado Republican Party leadership, all the people who say you didn't do anything, you exposed the whole Jenna Griswold thing. That
Yeah.
was completely Jenna
I
Griswold and a
forgot
complicit
all about
media.
that. You're
And
right.
they were happy to just put that under the rug, right? It wasn't until
Exactly.
you guys got involved and said, "Hey, wait a minute." And
Yep.
then they tried to lie, and you're like, "Oh, well, here's some audio if you'd like
Yep.
to hear that," right?
Yes. Oh my God, I forgot all about that. You're right. That was another thing that Dave did. I mean, it really, he worked very hard. He did. And he did a lot for the Republican Party, no matter what the naysayers say. And Hope and I, you know, we were there with him and we supported him with whatever he did. You know, we didn't always agree, don't get me wrong. And I know you remember at the beginning, Dave and I didn't really get along that well. You know, I remember him calling Chuck and saying, you know, what am I going to do with her? And I told him, just give her what she wants, is what I told him. She should have been your answer. But
Probably say, what would I do without her? It's
yeah,
like.
now it's different. Yeah, now I have a lot of respect for him, and you know, he's a good man. He really is. And I'm upset that he's not running again, but I understand his decision. And so.
Well, here I want to just read this from Charlene, and then I know we have to kind of let you go. But she's saying, "I know I kept watching them take the right controversial stance over and over, and was amazed at their courage when they could have just said and done nothing." And that's absolutely correct, right?
It
You could.
is. It is. And we can't just sit back and accept it. If somebody is not following the rules, we have to stop them. They must be exposed for what they're doing. And if we don't do it, if we don't fight, you know, to have them follow the rules, why bother having rules? What good is it? Bylaws are meaningless if someone is going to break them and we're not going to hold them accountable. You know, and it was ugly. I didn't want to do it all the time, Julie. I mean, half of the stuff that we went through was really like, you know, I would rather be doing something else, like working with the counties and whatnot. But you know, if they have to be held accountable, if they're going to break the rules, otherwise there's no reason to have rules to begin with. So, but yeah, I'm happy to be running again. At least I think.
Vote for Anna, yeah.
You know, and I just think, listen, I think I did a pretty good job, pretty decent. So and I think it could only get better now.
Yeah, you
So
did a great job. You really
thank
did.
you. I
All
appreciate
right.
it. All right. Well, Anna, thank you for Thank
running
you,
again, and
guys.
thank you for all the work you've done, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you. You're welcome. And I'm going to go make some phone calls now. No.
Okay.
All
All
right.
right.
Good
Bye.
job. Good
All
job.
righty. Bye,
Thank
everybody.
you. Bye-bye.
Anna Ferguson there. Oh, and from Charlene, don't forget they stood up for freedom for gender ideology. Well, and Chuck, you've been more involved with the Republican Party than I have, you know, sort of directly in the past few years. But how would you compare, you know, the stuff that like Anna and the stuff that Hope did to some of the other past secretaries and vice chairs?
Yeah, the past secretaries and chairs did nothing, in part because sometimes it wasn't their fault. They had enough money the chair could hire these political consultants, and they had a full-time director, and they really didn't want them to do anything. You know, for example, the treasurer, they have a great treasurer. Well, before, you know, they had a lot of iffy stuff, so they didn't want to involve the treasurer. No, they really did an extraordinary job, and it's all, you know, they gained seats, which Republicans haven't done forever. And then you hear the, well, you know, from the beginning, I mean, this is the first grassroots administration ever in the Republican Party. In the past, every year, it's been, you know, one controlled by a few rich people. This is the first time, and so the rich people hate it, and therefore they did everything, including filing lawsuits and trying to overthrow them, and they failed.
Right.
And now we got to elect a new one. Do you really want to put the failed ones, you know, in there? I
No.
mean, Krista and Bretta Horne. I mean, really? You really?
Right. No, I think it's a no-brainer. I think Anna and Hope, right? Just to, if nothing else, I mean, not even for nothing else, because they've done such a great job. I think they have earned, you know what I mean, the right, if they want to, if they're crazy enough to run again, they've earned the right to do it. Hey, a couple of things too, so we're waiting for Jeremy Goodall and Thomas, just so you know, if he's not on at 3:30, go ahead and give him a phone call. But a couple other things, pretty interesting. So you all heard, so Trump deported those 200 alleged, and I don't even, why are we saying alleged? They were clearly gang members, Venezuelan dangerous gang members, right? Who were here in this country to commit crimes and were committing crimes. And deported them to El Salvador, right? And halfway through, an Obama-appointed progressive judge tried to say that he couldn't do that. And I think it's just so funny. And the Trump's was like, "Oh well, planes in international airspace, can't turn it around." Not to mention the fact that you, as a wacky district judge in some wacky district, do not have the authority. I mean, he used the, what is it, the Alien Enemies Act, right? And which just makes sense. These are alien enemies, right? And it was like he said, "You do not have the role." The DOJ is arguing. The commander in chief is the one who trumps, pardon the pun there, everything, and he is not subject to judicial review or intervention. I mean, could you imagine that? If as a commander in chief, you could have some wacky district judge in wherever, Montana, say, "Oh no, we can't go to war, or we can't bomb the Houthis, or we can't do whatever," right? I mean, you just can't have district judges doing that. And I think it's pretty funny. The left is free. I mean, and Chuck, I think it's such a hard argument to make. It's like, "Oh no, we want to bring these criminals back to the United States," right? It's like that's how the left has lost their mind so much, that they're arguing for keeping these people in our country.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it is amazing. And it doesn't look good for them. I mean, it's another 80-20 thing where people go, okay, they send them to El Salvador. Great. We don't want them here. And they'll go, oh, no, our favorite Trinidadian people. These are good rapists. We need a good rapist in.
Exactly. I mean, it's just they're on the losing side, and this was one where the judge, again, the judges are, the more they, I mean, you're the lawyer, but it seems to me the more they overstep their authority, the easier it becomes for Trump to ignore it. What do you think?
Well, there's going to have to be something where you can't have the hundred, well, it gets a lot more than that, several hundred district judges, all of which think they have control over the whole United States.
Right.
I mean, I don't know what system decides that district court judges have jurisdiction to stop anything
Right.
beyond the district they're in. But, who's to stop them? And the Supreme Court hasn't stopped them. And quite frankly, as some people in the Supreme Court have noted, they're also ignoring what the Supreme Court says. Supreme Court comes down an edict, and screw that one.
Right.
I don't concur with that one. This is different. So they're really just acting as kings of their own little kingdoms. That's going to have to come to a head sometime.
I know that there's talk about, some people are saying, "Well, let them go ahead. Don't ignore it, but go ahead and try to impeach them." But I think that becomes such a nightmare on its own. So, yeah, I like from Jacob, I like the way Tom Holman answered a reporter's question on how can the U.S. use a law from the 1700s and the law is so old. And he said, "Well, we still go according to the Constitution, which is older than that. So, what's your question, right?" And Carolyn Leavitt, too, when somebody in France is saying, "Oh, they want Trump to send back the Statue of Liberty," Carolyn Leavitt said, "Hey, if it weren't for the United States, everybody in France would be speaking German right now." So. So take that, right? But I think anyway, that's interesting. I think you're right. It's coming to a head, and I think that Trump is doing a good job ignoring the ones that he can't ignore, right? And finding reason. It's like, "Well, we're over international airspace, right? And by the way, I'm the commander in chief." Now you can argue about whether I should have used that law, which you really can't because he's a commander in chief, right? It's and they just look, again, they look so stupid because they're arguing these aren't, little whatever. These are criminal aliens, right? No one has a problem with them being deported except the Democrats.
Yeah, well, it is amazing, but you've got, I think, 17 different district court judges issuing injunctions and other ones, and the Supreme Court cannot just allow this anarchy in its system. I mean, the only courts that the Constitution provides for is the Supreme Court, and all the other ones are just added on by Congress and supposed to
Right.
be looked over by the Supreme Court. Well, they're not looking over anybody.
Right.
They're just letting them do their wild and woolly stuff, and unless they pull them in, they'll get worse and worse.
Well, and as you pointed out, there is some question as to, like you said, they're ignoring the Supreme Court, right? They're like, "We
Yeah,
don't
they
care."
are. It's a lot more kind of like, before the judge, oh no, this is the Supreme Court. They've ruled this in this case. Now, this.
Right. Oh, and this is from Charlene. I saw this at the Babylon Bee. A federal judge ordered Musk to return the astronauts to the space station. They're coming home tomorrow. Finally, under Trump, Biden can't rescue them ever. Finally, under Trump, they get they get rescued. And yeah, the Babylon Bee was saying that too. The judge ordered to return. Yeah, and this from Jacob, and Jacob will talk about this in a second. Fauci may be back in the hot suit, on the hot seat, since the pardon was written with an auto pen. That's true too. I mean, Trump is saying, hey, it's null and void. And I think it's just fun just to be living rent free in all of their heads again, right? So that's kind of a good thing too.
Yeah, well, you know, that'll have to be litigated, I assume.
Oh, yeah, exactly. All right, I see we have Jeremy on. Okay, so we're going to switch gears for a little bit, come back to Colorado politics. Jeremy Goodall, from El Paso County, the chair of CD5, the GOP chair of CD5, has announced that he is running for state GOP chair. And we see we have him here. So, Jeremy, hey, go ahead and unmute yourself, and welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Glad you
How's
go.
Everyone doing?
Hey, good. I listened to Jeremy yesterday up in Phillips County, which is in the extreme northwest, northeast part of the state. And he gave a great speech, I thought. And he's got a campaign, which I think emphasizes the, really the most important part of what's going on with the party. So I'll let him explain it, but I thought it was a very effective speech.
Take it away.
Well, thank you for that, Chuck. And so I am Jeremy Goodall. I am the chair of CD5. To give your give folks that don't know me a little bit of insight, I've been involved in politics since I was 6 years old. And I didn't say 16. You didn't miss here. Kindergarten six.
Oh my goodness.
A family friend, one of my dad's church board members was running for Congress, and I was the designated cute sign holder. So that was my first job in politics. But since then, I've been college Republicans. I was a communications director for our campus Republicans at my university. I've interned under John Ashcraft and Senators Kit, John Ashcraft and Kit Bond. I've been basically a diehard conservative since I was, 6 years old. And I've just been involved. My father was always the pastor of the largest church in town. So we were a campaign stop and people invited me to things. And okay. I've always just been involved at both the state, local, and national level. Most recently here in Colorado, I've been a precinct leader in El Paso County since 2006.
Okay.
I've been a bonus member. I've been on the county executive teams. I was actually elected to the state executive committee, KBB, and there were some shenanigans. So I was never actually seated.
No, say it's not so.
Yeah, so, you know.
KBB and shenanigans?
yeah. Perish the thought. But I am, I believe, eminently qualified. And more than that, I have had front row seats for pretty much every major controversy that we've experienced as a party for the last at least decade, actually a little bit further even than that. I really kind of stepped up into the statewide stuff here in Colorado in 2010, if any of you guys remember that far back. I am running not just because, it's an open seat I believe that we are at the cusp of a truly transformative window here. What we are going through as a party is not a single crisis. It's not. And anybody that tells you that we're not in crisis, you guys are morons.
You're not paying attention.
Just wake up and smell the coffee. We are in what I believe are three separate but interrelated crises. That's the plural of crisis.
Okay.
So we've got, and the good news is that these three crises they're not one giant problem. They're three smaller ones stacked on top of each other like midgets in a trench coat.
Okay.
First is a crisis of vision. We've forgotten how to win. We've forgotten how to be on offense. We're trudging down a track that we didn't choose for ourselves.
Okay.
We've been kind of shifted over, and there's forces that are kind of working to keep us on this, but they want our heads down. They want us staring at our feet and just trying not to trip over ourselves. You got to get our eyes up and we got to start looking around and seeing what's going on, because that's the only way you're going to be able to actually take direct action. Second, next midget down, is a crisis of faith. We don't trust each other because we've lost faith in what the label Republican means. You've had Lori Sane on, mm-hmm. and Darcy, I believe, too.
Right.
Well, as grassroots Republicans and people that have been fighting, against you guys are very clear that you know the rhinos. I kind of prefer the term establishment or status quoians. You say tomato, we say tomato, like,
right.
And, you know, I just know that when you call them rhinos, I always find it funny that they lose their minds over the appropriateness of it, but never the accuracy.
Right. Right.
Like that's something to keep an eye on.
Right.
But getting back to both Lori and Darcy, as I've gone across the state and been talking to folks that maybe know Lori really well or know Darcy really well, but don't necessarily know me, I've had to tell them, I'm like, look, we don't know each other because we don't trust each other, because there's been this attitude of distrust that's kind of clouded everything. And that's a fundamental problem. Because until we get our friend or foe identification, then it's really a scary fight. Like when you're when it's cloudy and in the dark and you don't know what's coming your way, everything looks like an enemy.
Okay. And
there are solid grassroots folks all across this state that are keeping their eyes, trying to keep accountability, trying to hold the line. This can be addressed by attacking the third base midget, and that's the identity crisis, which basically feeds the other two.
Okay.
We need to understand what a Republican is. If I'm saying, if you're going to assert that someone is a Republican in name only, it follows that you must also have a working definition of what a Republican is. Because you can't exclude people from that definition if the definition is just they have an R behind their name and they check the form.
Okay.
Like that doesn't work. So what we need is a way of figuring that out. That's, I would say, maybe not the same level of like purity. I'm not advocating for a purity process or some sort of like written declaration that people have to, some checklist, because people will just lie.
Yeah.
What we need is a process of vetting by a wide body of Republicans. That's like, as Republicans, we have to decide that. Right now, we do that in a process that's basically the primary and the candidate selection processes through our assemblies and
the caucuses.
Right now, that primary process has been co-opted by bad actors. Like if you think about it, the Democrats or non-Republicans, at the very least, however you want to term them, unaffiliateds, independents, any of that, they're not Republicans. And my position is, if you say that you're not a Republican, I will believe you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's rude for me to tell you that as someone who says they don't want to be a Republican, that no, I'm going to go ahead and give you a ballot and make you be a Republican anyway.
Right.
That just seems rude.
Well, that kind of leads into my big question. And because we don't have a ton of time here, but the opt-out, it sounds like that's where you're kind of going with this. Because, yes. I mean, I noticed on some of your literature, you had, I think, one of the most sort of direct addressing that question of any that I've seen. So let me give you an opportunity to do that.
So my position is we must opt out of Democrat control. Like there's no middle ground here. Right now we've got non-Republicans voting We've got Democrat money funding, and we've got the Democrat Secretary of State handling and counting our ballots to decide Republican candidates.
Yeah.
That's three strikes, you're out.
Yeah.
Some folks have said, like, well, what about the lawsuit to get us free? What about what about an initiative process? I'm like, okay, so then you've got Democrats voting, Democrats funding, and then Democrats counting. Now you're going to put us in front of the Democrat title board.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to go put us through whenever they get done with it, you're going to put us through the Democrat dominated court system.
Mm-hmm.
Our sovereignty, our freedom as a party has to be taken. Freedom isn't granted. And if we don't take our freedom, we're just going to be stuck in the exact same treadmill that we've been running for the last two decades.
So you would support the lawsuit then too?
I've voted in support of the lawsuit. My position is whichever gets us out of Democrat control the fastest is the best possible solution.
Okay.
Details of it that people want to argue ad infinitum. I was talking about this to a gentleman up in Phillips County, and I said, listen, if we were standing in this room and there was some great barbecue and some great Republicans, it was awesome. But if in the middle of that room, the ceiling collapsed with a giant flaming girder and fire is breaking out, we're not going to convene a committee to decide what color the fire extinguisher needs to be. We're all going to get out of the room, get clear of the danger. That's the first step. Then once clear of the danger, now what color, what fire department should we call? Like, how do we,
how do we want to work it? Let me ask you this. Some of our listeners.
Well, let me ask you, you mentioned on Sunday, the welcome party. Why don't you talk about that briefly?
Well, yeah, this is like I said, if people say they don't want to be Republicans, I say we go ahead and believe them. It's rude otherwise. When Democrats and names like Ken Thierry, Reid Hoffman, and I always forget her name, but Rupert Murdoch's stepdaughter.
Kathleen Murdoch. Uh-huh.
Kathleen Murdoch, stepdaughter.
Daughter-in-law.
These folks are basically the money behind a group that's called thewelcomeparty.org.
Huh.
If you want to put that up and bring it up on your thing, and you could just scroll down. What they are doing is seeking out what I've termed stealth Democrats, but basically they're explicitly signing up to raise money and fund moderate Democrats and centrist Republicans in an effort to undermine staunchly hard right deep red districts.
Okay.
They don't believe Colorado is liberal enough. They want to soften Republican resolve in the areas that are still staunchly Republican. And Reid Hoffman and the others, their money is substantial that they're putting towards this.
Right. And probably it was coming from us too, and which hopefully Doge will put an end to. Let me ask you this. One of our listeners, Charlene, says, ask him if he supports Dave Williams in the current leadership, question one. And if so, why are you running against them?
I've been very vocal. I support Hope for vice chair. I support Anna for secretary. In my opinion, both Lori and Darcy are trying to tack to the center and negotiate and find a middle ground on this question of the opt-out.
Okay.
Both of them have in both private conversations and public statements, they have made conditional support of the opt-out. I'm sorry, that's not going to get us clear. If we devolve how many Democrats dance on the head of a pin, or which format do we need to go? It doesn't matter. If we have that meeting while the house is on fire, we're done.
That goes back to what you're saying. It's like, let's get it done. Yeah. And then we can argue some of the logistics in terms of implementing stuff later. Yep.
No, like, I don't care which, like if we stack them up, tallest to shortest or shortest to tallest, as we're waiting in the parking lot for the fire department to, make sure everybody's together. But we don't need to have that while we're getting out of the fire.
Okay. Like, well, let me ask you.
That's been my point.
And then, Jeremy, because this, I guess, sort of an open-ended, two-part final question. And Dr. Chuck, did you have anything else, too, or because they're starting to come close?
Yeah, no, go ahead, Julie.
Okay, I was going to say, so just sort of a final view on a kind of final word for you here. And then also, because I know you have a website, right? If people want to find out more about you, where can they go for that?
I don't actually have a website.
Okay.
We're in the process of bringing it up, and by the time we get to this,
The meeting. Okay.
But if you're on the central committee, you will be getting emails from me.
So I have been getting them. Okay. I've been getting them.
IvyGoodall@yahoo.com. If you want to make sure that's not in your spam folder, that'd be great.
I've been getting them. All right. Well, okay. Jeremy, hey, thank you for coming
on. Jeremy. Great to have you on.
I appreciate it. And thank you. All right. Yeah, wish you the best. All right. Thank you, sir. Jeremy Goodall.
Well, if you're going to be there on the 29th, I would appreciate your vote.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. And also want to let folks know, in Equal Opportunity, we're going to have Darcy on again on Wednesday. And then we're going to have, Lori Sane on again on Monday. Because the vote is getting closer and closer. And kind of finally, Chuck, wanted to go back to national politics, just because I think this whole auto pen thing is so fun. Trump has declared that Biden's auto pen pardons are null and void because they can't be done with an auto pen. I'm raising a question, and I think it's fun on so many levels. Number one, not only, Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, Adam Schiff, Fauci, General Mark Milley, all of those people who were pardoned, right, now may not be pardoned. And I just think it'd be so fun because even the hearing, you don't know what Biden will do, right? Biden hates the Democrats right now. He might just get up there and say, hey, I had no idea.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Check all the proclamations he signed, executive orders, if they're auto-penned or not.
And I think that's what they're doing, and it's pretty easy to see, right? And so I just think it's hilarious because here again, it's like Trump, he's just messing with them, right? But in an effective way. It's like, if you're all of them, it's like, okay, well, maybe I'm not pardoned. So now Liz Cheney, they have to worry about maybe getting a lawyer, maybe arguing about it. And who knows what they're going to find out, right? If this goes to court and they have people testifying, well, who authorized the auto pen? Now, Joe Biden would be happy to lie normally, but he's mad at the Democrats right now. Funny, can't remember. I mean, so you have this whole, you're going to have the Democrats once again. So now we couldn't have Joe in there because he's incompetent, but now he was competent. It's just such another poor Trump. Oh, and then just for fun, Trump announced tomorrow while the Democrats' heads are spinning, he's going to release 80,000 documents from the Kennedy assassination report. So.
Is that all of them? Or is it, I'm always waiting for the one.
I think they've learned their lesson from.
There's one that really tells you what you're doing. The other 80,000 don't matter.
I think they learned from the Epstein thing. I think they're not going to be making any declarations about what is or isn't. They're just sort of saying tomorrow they're going to release through the DOJ and it's going to be some kind of coordinated thing. They just said 80,000 documents.
I wish they'd say all the documents.
Well, I think, I think every time they say that, they end up tripping over themselves because somebody somewhere comes up with one document that no one knew existed, right?
Well, they release all the ones they know about or something, rather than just giving a number.
Well, I think that is what he's saying. This is the bulk. I just saw that. So I think that's, the poor Democrats, and then the astronauts are going to come back safe, and they're thanking Elon Musk and Trump, right? And if you're like them, I'm sure they're mad. It's like, that's all it took to get us rescued was just, and Biden couldn't do this all the time. He's like willing to let us hang.
I really don't understand that. NASA couldn't figure out how to get them back. They're just.
Well, NASA's things kept breaking, and all they had to do was ask Elon Musk, but they didn't want to do that because they didn't want to make Trump and Elon Musk. So they were perfectly happy to have the astronauts. God knows what their health is like, sitting up there in a space station.
I saw the one woman with her hair up, and she looked
It's
You've been
gotta
through
be
hell.
crazy. Hey, well, that's gonna do it for us. I know you've
All
got
right.
meetings to go to. Again, Darcy on Wednesday, Lori Sane on Monday. Otherwise, thank you to Anna and to Jeremy, everybody on Zoom, and we'll see you all on Wednesday.
Take care, everybody.